Hello, and welcome to part two of episode 35 of Mood Swings with Luke and Morgan from the band M Woods. I presume you've listened to part one. If not, then it might be best to listen to part one first, so just go back and do that. If you have listened to part one, feel free to listen to it again. Download it on a different device or something so that you rake the numbers right up, because as you might have heard, we're trying to get over the 10,000 mark before the end of this month, because just because I want it to happen. It means we'll have 10,000 downloads inside 9 months, which I think is pretty cool, especially since we had like a month and a half off in the middle. So I think it's quite a nice little achievement, and it'll be a nice round number. And yeah, the downloads in general and stuff have been picking up, so I just need to say thanks to everyone who's been listening. It's been quite cool for me recently seeing things pick up in just like engagement over, sounds like such a clinical word, engagement, but just people on Twitter and Facebook and all these places, Instagram. I've had a lot more feedback from people, which I love, not just because it validates me, although it does, but just because it's, as well as seeing the numbers go up, it's nice to hear people's thoughts about the podcast and put some faces and some opinions and some voices to those figures, and not just know that, you know, however many people have listened to it in Scotland, and there's one person in Indonesia who's listened to it, and then I remember that one of my mates is on holiday in Indonesia, so it's probably them, and it's not someone from Indonesia at all. Stuff like that. It's good to know who's listening rather than just how many people. So yeah, keep all that kind of stuff up, but please keep recommending. I don't know what recommending is. Maybe it's when you recommend a friend to your other friend called Rebecca. What a strange concept. Well, I really need to stop talking. But yeah, please keep recommending to your pals and sharing on social media and stuff. And as I said, keep saying hello. I really like it. Anyway, this is another great episode, I think. Part two. The first part I thought was really nice. Quite chilled out. Me, Morgan, and Luke. I don't know what happened in that very brief break that we had. I don't know whether the sugar kicked in from the iron brew we were drinking and the chocolate milk, or whether it was just having a wee break and having a wee walk around, or the fire picked up or something, but I don't know. As soon as I started listening back to this episode, this second part of the episode, I felt that it was a lot more, we were all a lot more hyper, for lack of a better word, and a lot more energetic. So, oh, that's a notification on my laptop. I'm too far in to edit this out now. Aye, so this episode a bit faster paced, I suppose you could say, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. And just a big congratulations to M Woods for their announcement that they're playing South by Southwest this year. And also another congratulations to Ailey and Breakfast Muff, who were on the podcast a few weeks back. They have both been announced to play South by Southwest, which is incredible for two young Scottish bands. So yeah, congrats to both of them. Aye, and I'll be back at the end to speak more shite probably, but until then, enjoy this wee chat with me, Luke and Morgan. Thank you.
I just had to, my ankles were getting really cold, so I had to just set that fire up again.
From the perspective of the listener, though, that's been 1 second.
That has been 1 second. We have been away to the park. We went,
I was trying to find the toilet, that piano was dead, like haunting. It was like resonating right in the house. I was like, is that a horror movie or something?
Luke's finished a new song that he...
Try to write down 7 months.
I know you've been playing it to me for so long, and it's been so lovely and so beautiful, and now it's done. Hooray, hurrah!
It sounded nice when I was.
Oh, it's not done, it's just abandoned.
No, it's done.
It's just abandoned.
Oh, Okay.
Someone says, who was it that says?
I don't know, I know the quote you're on.
I can't remember the real quote. A thing is never done, it's just abandoned. No, it sounds like a piece or an artwork or something.
I person can fuck themselves.
You can go fuck yourself there, you little bastard, there.
I'm pretty sure I used Lars Ulrich. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure I heard Lars Ulrich use that quote about like "Saint Anger" by Metallica. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, when's a record done? Like,
it's never done. It's just abandoned.
I agree with that. I mean, like, I think
a song is never finished. It's only abandoned.
I don't know, man. I think some songs are done.
No, I feel it's definitely done. Whole in yourself.
Yeah.
But I think it's more than just the fact that you can always like change it. You can always do something more to it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think like it being finished though is just when it gets to the point when like it's.
You're
it's
happy
as
to
clean
let
as it,
it out to, yeah.
Be. There's no fat on it, and it's just it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's.
I mean, I've got songs that like, I kind of just like, I don't really know where to go with them, but they sound nice within themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, this is it.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
But then I've also got songs that I'm like, yeah, I wrote this, and this is a complete song, but like, I don't know. You can always maybe go back to it and be like, I mean, I think the actual like song in itself, will always be like, these are the words, this is the melody. But like, you can always go back and be like, change wee slight bits here and there.
Yeah. But I think the point of any...
But congrats for finishing. Very impressed.
I suppose like the point of any good art form, or any kind of art, is basically to kind of get the idea across in as few strokes as possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think once you start complicating it with like get the oboe, you know what I mean? Then it's like... I don't know, you're just intending
yeah,
to
yeah.
That's when it becomes pretentious, you know what I mean? Because you're just trying to, like, show people how smart you are, as opposed to being, like... You know, it's kind of like, you don't want to be an important comedian, you want to be a funny comedian, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, I think that's, like, same with songwriting. You want to just try and get to the point where it feels like it's the most effective with the least amount of stuff.
Yeah. You know? Less is more.
Sometimes more is more.
You're gonna be shit. You actually pick a point and stick to it. I'm trying to agree with you here.
No, I'm just what I took from that was no oboe. That's what I've
yeah, no oboe.
Yeah,
yeah,
fuck
yeah,
your
yeah,
oboes.
Yeah. Or bagpipes.
Fuck your oboes, fuck your bagpipes.
Yeah.
Unless it's at the top of a hill, and then you can listen from afar, that'd be nice. As I stroke my face, that'd be nice.
I'm sure that meant
spicy
something
boy.
In
I don't know where to go from that.
Was she just like, anybody got any bagpipes? Oh, my flatmate Kate was like saying to me the other day that like her, because I was saying, like, I can't remember why we were talking about Texas, and she was like, yeah, my uncle stays in Texas now, and he's like a proper, like, he's basically, cause he's lived there that long that it's like he's from there now.
Yeah.
Apart from sometimes he'll like, one time he went out and bought bagpipes and played it down the phone to her, and I was like, what the heck? Your neighbours must be like, who's dying? Who's dead? Someone died.
I thought you went to Texas, the band there, like when you
first. Oh, no.
Her uncle stays in Texas, no, like, that's a place.
No, actually, Texas, he stays in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Got a lot of connections to the States, like.
Yeah. So we, the other day, like, so well, we need to wait to see if we get funding for it, but the other day, which is not on, when is this going out, actually?
Probably mid to late January.
Okay, perfect, that's when it, yeah, cool, perfect then. Yeah, so the other day, we got accepted for South by Southwest.
Was it? Oh,
yeah.
Congrats.
We came back, was it yesterday? No, it was Friday morning. An email through, official, South by Southwest. Here we go! Only if I can get the funding for it though. So, because it's a lot of money. Well,
yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm saying only if I can get the funding. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to.
It's a good attitude to have. Make it happen.
I'm always going to make
what
it happen.
Are you going to
full band?
Ooh.
So, that's the thing. Like, I can always make it happen for myself. But like to also pay for like a whole band.
Yeah.
That's a bit of maybe another... So I'm going to just be like, please everyone, you all have to come, but like, we either need to get funding or you need to work your arses off as well.
Rack up that overtime.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
And if not, I'll start pressing my suit.
And if not, get your suit out. Yes. get that suit looked out.
Yeah.
Oh, we were there and I had like, well, you saw the silver suit on Friday.
I did, yeah.
So I had the silver suit on and I've got like, I bought this baby pink suit before I left as well. And honestly, I thought it was a bala. But I was like, look, please put these trousers on. So I was there for the So Far show. I was there in my silver suit and my big, massive, like, Bowie boots. It's like big, they're not silk, what are they?
Suede.
It's kind of like velour or something like that. It's like really soft, shiny material. They're like silver boots. And then Luke was in his baby pink, in my baby pink trousers.
Yeah.
And honestly, they looked absolutely banging. Honestly, you need to get yourself a pair, please.
I don't know.
I've got an extra pair of pink ones downstairs. They're not as baggy though, but I feel like I'm going to be definitely trying.
It's the bagginess that I was unsure about, you know what I mean? I felt a wee bit MC Hammer.
Honestly, they looked so good, like the coolest. I've got a small soap pack even apart from that.
Mum!
But I've got like a really cool pair. I'm going to give you them. Let you try them on.
Cool.
Unless they look horrific, I'll take them back.
I'm glad we've worked this out in the podcast.
I know.
I just don't know about like your fashion choices.
To be honest with you, I could not follow Luke's fashion choices at all when he was there. Now I never used to like. I used to just be like, oh, just chuck these jeans on. It's only now I'm just like, bitch, I'm gonna get out myself a suit. It was so funny at the show. This dude came up to me, at the show on Friday. This dude came up, and he's like, I really want to make you a guitar strap, like, and he was like, what do you want on it? Do you want like M Woods written down it? And I was like, no, I really don't like flashy things. And I'm wearing my big, I'm like, I'm really not that flashy, and I'm wearing that like actual silver suit. And like everyone just started laughing. I was like, what are you talking about? But like, I'm not gonna want like my name on it. I was like, that's tacky as shit.
Why? Don't criticize the guy.
No, he was just like, okay, no, it was great though, because he was just like, okay, like no tacky, no names. And he was like, what colour do you like? And I was like, well...
Silver. No tacky, no strappy.
No tacky, no strappy.
What's that TV show? What's that game?
No lighty, no lighty.
No likey, no lighty.
Take me out.
Take me out.
Watch that.
About what?
Have you watched that?
Like, yeah, I've watched it. Like, I usually, like, at 4 in the morning when I'm in some, like, deep YouTube hole, and I just end up in, like, why am I here?
Kiddling the Illuminati.
Yeah.
We actually went to, like, see the Scientology building.
Oh, did you?
We passed it. We were driving past it, right? And, like, we were like, where's Tom Cruise? Where's Tom Cruise?
Bring me Tom Cruise.
Whoopi Goldberg. Is she even in it?
I don't know. She just started saying it.
And it was like lit up, and I was like, where are you getting your electricity bill? Like, honestly, where are you getting the money for your electricity bill?
They don't pay tax, do they?
Well, true that. We were saying we were going to start a religion.
Just yeah, I don't. I just I'm not fucking with Scientology.
I know. No. Yeah, I think we're great.
Yeah, it's just a joke.
Just kidding. I can't joke.
Tom Cruise is handsome.
I mean, objectively, he is handsome.
Yeah,
but can't take that away from him. But
absolutely, yeah.
I'm sure he's a nice
Mission
guy.
Impossible 2 was a big favourite when I was playing my weakest phase at point coincided. Like,
you're proper trying to get in with the Scientology here. You're like, honestly, I love you all. Peace and love to everyone.
I just want to help my boy Louis through. Like, he couldn't get in. Maybe if I can get in with Scientology, I can give Louis a phone and get him some insight.
Oh,
info.
You're going to get an insight.
I love Louis through.
So do I. I have his face tattooed on my thigh.
Do you actually? Yes!
I'll show you a photo afterwards.
Yeah,
it's close.
No, that's okay. This isn't the medium for it, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't come across well.
I know.
I mean,
I've got a face for the radio. No, I just sung it. Just because you said it's not the medium for it.
Yeah.
Take it back.
The Scientology is weird, eh?
It's so strange. Yeah. Freaky.
And I don't want to boil it down to just weird, eh? But
it's just weird, day.
I said
that. I start getting letters to my door about, like,
you get Scientology letters.
Oh, I said if I do, I'm going to blame you guys.
Oh, right. Oh. I was like, well, you get Scientology letters. I was like, what the heck?
Because L. Ron Hubbard wrote more fiction than any other human being in history.
Yeah, he wrote heaps. And then he came out and said that he made up Scientology to make money, and people still believe it.
And like, he genuinely, like...
And I was like, fuck your L. Ron Hubbard, because we passed the Museum of L. Ron Hubbard, didn't we?
Do you think R.M. Hubbard?
I got R.M. Hubbard is
No, as I said, do you think R.M. Hubbard's like a descendant of of Elrod Hubbard.
Yeah. Maybe he's inside up.
I hope he doesn't hear this.
I think we should quickly move on. Before I get like Dianetics posted to me.
On a horse head left in my bed. Oh no, that's
I would think bubbles right out. That's like, I don't want that to happen.
Shut up. They're going for that one.
So I know. What the heck? Oh, in my bed. That's the Sopranos, isn't it?
It's
the Godfather.
So what else can we talk about?
I was just going to ask, like, Morgan, you said before we started recording, before you came round, like, that you, when you guys were in LA, you talked about, like, had a lot of, like, heavy chats on the drive.
Oh, yeah,
just,
yeah.
I wonder what you were talking
like,
about.
So deep into just, like, it was so in, like, weird worlds. So Luke and I didn't, like, we knew each other, like, we would hang out, like, quite a bit before we went, but, like, I wouldn't really say, like, I knew that much about like you as a person. Like it was more just like in social circles, like my keys player Katie, she kind of introduced us, and also like through Barry we knew each other as well.
Barry Jim Daniel, we should say, yeah, in case anyone's wondering who Barry is.
I know, I keep mentioning him.
We've mentioned him twice in the regular show. Like,
yeah, so like, so we had kind of known each other through that, but like not really to an extent where I kind of even knew like how your mind works.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do.
I don't
know.
Yeah. Anyone does.
But no, but
I don't know. I'm a little more fucked up after knowing some things in there. Like,
yeah, we knew each other like sort of like peripherally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If that's a word, I think that's a word. But then, like, obviously, once you get there, you're living in close quarters, and like, you're like together all the time.
We're literally in the back of a transit van. Yeah, yeah,
it's like, so there's a lot of traveling and a lot of like just literally just us. Well, apart from the times obviously we're with other people,
yeah,
but like for the most part, we're just on our own. So it's like kind of you're forced in a situation where you're kind of just. It's not even like a.
Sounds like we're much more alike than we ever thought.
Yeah,
we're much more
alike.
Free here, like painfully. I know.
Painfully.
It really hurts sometimes.
Yeah.
Actually, like.
Just
stomach muscles, I've found a few.
I was crying, man.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was one day, so after already the bad things that had happened, we parked up on the street in West Hollywood, woke up in the morning, and Luke's like, where's my suitcase? And I was like, you're having a laugh. Where's my suitcase? Okay, right, so, like, let me think. And I'd got a text from my friend Kirsten saying, oh, you left some things at my house, by the way. And I'm thinking, all right, that's perfect, right? He's just left it at Kirsten's house. He's just left it in her house. So he's freaking out, absolutely freaking out. Now, not only his suitcase, his passport, his dogs,
yeah,
our toothbrushes,
yeah,
all the things that we bought.
All my travel documents.
All your travel
pretty
documents.
Pretty much all of it, yeah.
All the things that we bought that caused us to get towed in the first place. So we drive back and it's just sat at Kirsten's front door. But what we had done, so we had parked up the van on the street, and for some reason Luke took it round to the other side of the road, which meant it was in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Left it by the side of the van, which didn't have a door on that side.
Yeah.
And then just like, we went back in to get more stuff and we just totally forgot that we had left it on the like middle of the road. So this is like West Hollywood, middle of the road, Edinburgh Avenue. We actually stayed like, my friend stays on Edinburgh Avenue. And we went back and it was all still there. Overnight.
You left it overnight? I didn't leave it at like the side of the street, I left it on the road.
On the middle of the road?
Yeah, on the middle of the road.
Like, so think about if you park your car on the road, right? So we were like a pavement away from the...
Yeah.
A pavement away from the... No, a car away from the pavement, basically. And then, so he had left it on the outside of
yeah,
the...
So, like,
so it wasn't the pavement side, it was the middle of the road side.
Yeah.
And so he left it there all night. In the morning, someone had moved it onto the pavement. Kirsten got up for her work and saw it lying on the pavement.
She recognised it as your suitcase.
Well, I mean, like, I think she just, by that point, she just kind of assumed
because we were
these fucking idiots. For, like,
we literally like came in for like a few weeks, wrecked our whole life and left.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we got that back, and then like 3 days later, we drove back round again, and then Luke found his hair gel that he was looking for, still there by the side of the road. And I was like, my goodness. But it's so strange because like, The homeless population in LA is insane.
Yeah, I mean, huge.
Like, it's one of the largest population of homeless people. I mean, not to even joke about it, but if you're going to be homeless somewhere, LA is the perfect place, like actually, because it's like, if you're homeless here in the winter, you're fucked. Even out during the day here, like, you're fucking absolutely freezing, never mind, like, being out, sleeping outside at night time. So, like, I kind of see why it's got a higher population than in Scotland, because most people wouldn't survive being outside overnight. But, like, I'm surprised that, like, no one actually came along and, like, just lifted the stuff, because it's not like it would be stealing. We left it in the middle of the road. Mm.
Finders keepers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's a suitcase, it's all the things that we bought. We bought loads of nice cool posters, Amoeba Music, when we went record shopping and got towed.
I mean, that's like, there's also like a big thing there that I've noticed is that, like, here people like maybe like want your money. Whereas over there they want like food and they want things that can help them.
Yeah,
so like over there, like, scavenging.
Yeah.
It's like a big thing.
Yeah.
So they'll go like around all the bins or around things and like try and get things that are useful for them.
Yeah, and they've got
so,
like
I'm surprised someone's
like
fucking hit the jackpot, you know what I mean? They've got a UK passport and a pair of ducks, like a full suitcase full of clothes.
Toothbrush, toothpaste,
hair gel.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I got it back.
Spoiler alert,
I got it back.
You ever seen the film The Road?
No.
Yeah, like, oh, it's like a dystopian film about like the world's pretty much like, it's like nuclear fallout, and there's like a bit where like they fall asleep and leave their like cart with all their stuff in it inside the road, and a guy steals it, and it's all like literally all that happened in the world.
Oh my god!
I hope we can avoid nuclear holocaust.
I know, exactly.
And also me leaving my stuff by the side of the road again.
Yeah. So thankfully we got all that back, and all was well. Although it was a lot of like, there was a lot of like while we were there, it was like we had such amazing times, and then like just a lot of like, not a lot of stressful times, but when the times were stressful, they were really
once a day there would be like a couple of hours where we were not speaking to each other and we were just kind of trying to
like figure things out in our lives, like, so it wasn't that we were like falling out with each other, we literally were just like so like wrapped up and like, we need to fix this fuck up that we've just done, that we're both like sitting by each other, like on our laptops, like being like, how the fuck am I going to fix it? Like, especially even like trying to get our guitars back, or like, I just, when I like get something that I need to do, I just get into like a proper rage. Like, I don't rage at people, I'm not mean to people, but I'm just like, I just get a rage within myself. I'm like, I need to do this, I need to get this back, or like, I need to, especially when I'm going to get the car, I was just like, for fuck's sake, like this. And then I get to the point where I just like piss myself and I'm just like, ha 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 ha, I'm going up in flames, but this is hilarious. Set me on fire now.
How do you like motivate yourself like during those like stressful times?
I think to be honest, I'm just naturally like pretty chilled out and also quite self-deprecating. So anytime a situation like that pops up, it's like we can either be stressed and fight, or we can just like have a laugh.
Just go on with it.
And we never fought once. Like, at the times that we were stressed, or we were just kind of like, we'd be silent and be like trying to like you could just hear like the cogs in our brains just like ticking away, and then we'd just be like sat there, and then we'd realise that we'd just been sat here for like an hour trying to figure out how we were going to fix this like fuck up that we'd done, and then we'd just like start howling, like I'd just be like saying like, or like just start squealing or something like that.
I think the thing is as well, like, because I've organised my own tours in the past and things like that, so like I've always had the experience of things going wrong, so it's just like one of these things you need to deal with.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I don't know, it just comes with it.
Yeah.
You can't like avoid it. We're not on holiday really, even though like there were certain elements of it that were basically a holiday.
Yeah.
You're sort of like just already in the mindset that you're trying to like, you're moving towards like the next show or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, you kind of just need to get it done. Like, you need to get the car back, you need to get my clothes back, you need to get my passport back.
I know, it was just like, we were quite good at just getting things done. Like, it was just like, no fucking moaning. Like, don't get yourself down about it. We'd maybe get a wee bit stressed, but we wouldn't really be stressed with each other. We'd just be like stressed within ourselves. And then we'd just be like, we'd fix it, and then we'd be like, ha ha ha, that's hilarious. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's never do that again.
I think also, like, after like the first, because the first day I had to buy a guitar. So like, no, and I couldn't find the guitar shop, and I was getting mega
stressed. Because I went to the very first shop that I went into, I was like, I fell in love with this beautiful, beautiful guitar.
Yeah.
This Erling guitar. And it was absolutely stunning. I was like, I have to get this. And then Luke's like, you should try a few other shops. Like, and I was kind of like, yeah, no, I know I should actually. Because normally I'm like, well, I'm very, very impulsive. So I'm like, yes, I want this. I'm going to get it. Okay, bye. And then I get it, and I'm like, well, they're done. But I knew like straight away that I wanted that guitar. And then we left with it, and I was so happy. And then maybe if I'd went to the next shop and found a nicer guitar, I would have been gutted, but I didn't, thankfully.
No.
So we went around so many shops, driving around. It was like 20 to 5, and all the shops closed at 5.
Mm. You had a show that night, yeah?
Yeah, yeah,
we had a show that night. So no guitar.
I was stressing then. I was like,
you were thinking it, I was like, look, don't worry. The show that we're playing, if we need to, we'll just borrow a guitar for that show. We can get one tomorrow, we'll fix it. And like, looks like, oh no, no, blah, blah, blah. Went into this shop, and it's like, just turned up like 10 to 5, the shop closes at 5. The very last shop that we went into was like this really old, like the guy made guitars as well as done like really beautiful vintage guitars. And Luke got this absolute banging 62.
Yeah. It was like 1962 Town and Country old Erling guitar. So like, but it came in like its original case and all that. It was so perfect.
Yeah. It was like absolutely perfect. And then it's like, because we'd went somewhere and we tried one and we were kind of like, this is amazing, it's so good, like I'm going to do this, I'm going to go home, I'm going to sell my guitar and I'm going to get that. And then it was kind of like, it was kind of the same, like, it was a Gretsch that you already play. Yeah, and it's like, the reason I bought my guitar was because I was in California and I believe that, like, if I'm going to do it, like, there's no point in going and bringing one home that, like, I could easily just pick up back home. I wanted it to be, like, a thing that I could keep and... Obviously, I wanted to just, I didn't want a shite guitar.
Yeah.
So I wanted it to be impressive, like performance-wise, but also to be a thing that like that would remind me. And every time I pick it up, I'd be like, yeah, this is what I bought in California. And like so I was so happy when I found my one, and I knew it was the right one. And then I wanted you to get that for you, but I could see him getting stressed to the point where it's like, there's a show tonight and I need to get a guitar. And I was like, look, no, this isn't the right one. Don't just go and buy one for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, but I can totally get in his position because I've been there where I've been like, fuck it, I'm just going to do this. And it fixes all. But in the end, really, you just like, you'd turn up with a guitar that you didn't really want, but you just bought because you were stressed.
Squire Strat or something.
Yeah, actually, funnily enough, that was like, because we kept, like, after the first shop when we moved on, like, all the guitar shops were pretty much for beginners.
Yeah.
Which I was, and it was just all, like, Squire, like, little, like, Squires for, like, $200 or whatever.
Yep.
And I was like, I could just get one of them and give it away when we leave. But then, like, when we got to that other shop, it was like, oh! And then I was like, hey, there it is! There's a guitar I want, you know? So then, and then it was like so buzzing,
and it was like such a like like high point, like getting it and taking it away. We put it in the back of the Mustang. Yeah, it was amazing. We're driving. We knew we had the show that night, and it was like so like Christmas Day when you're like get up and you get your present. You're like, oh my god, so excited, and like that still not went away, which is exactly what you want to get when you buy a guitar. But it's so easy to get caught up in the stress and be like, I have to get this and I have to do it now and this has to be done because if not, we've got no guitar for the show, but fuck it. Like.
Well, I think just that pattern of like problem and then like the relief of it being sorted.
Yeah.
Like, every day was kind of like why we kind of knew like, right, if something fucks up, Luke can fix it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like literally in the first 3 days, like I'd spent like $1,200 on a guitar. I mean, I couldn't find a guitar, then I got one and I was like, then I was like, I'll get no money. But then like you sort of figure it out and then like get the car towed.
Yeah.
And then you get the car, and then you get the car back, and it all just sort of works itself out. You know, it's just that oscillation between like, high points and low points.
Because like I had prepaid for the like the camper van, and then the guy told us the day before we came out that you couldn't pick it up till Monday, and we arrived on Saturday. So I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna get a Mustang. That'll make me feel better, spending more money." No, but actually, it was such a belter, wasn't it? Like, I would never regret that. It was so good. It felt so good driving about. And I feel like it was like the perfect way to start the trip because it was like so like surreal driving about in like a convertible, and it was amazing. And then when we got to the place, we were going to be like, let's put our suits on and pick up our Mustang, be like proper dicks. But lucky we didn't, because we spent 2.5 hours in the car rental place, also with a trip to McDonald's in between. and we went back and we finally, after having to pay more, I had to buy a new flight because the guy's like, you either have to put a credit card down on that, which I don't have a credit card, yeah. Never mind bring one with me. You have to put a credit card, and I was like, well, what am I meant to do? I can't magic a credit card. And he was like, well, your flight has to like match up with the day that you bring the car back so that we know that you're not going to just like not bring the car back and then bring it back at the end of your trip.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do then. No. But so I had to buy a new flight to get the car to take away. I bought a flight to Denver. It was so stupid. It was like, I bought the cheapest flight. So then spent that, and then we got new guitars.
You know what's funny though? Like, see, when, before we actually left, like we've been chatting, like, cause we've been rehearsing, and then like I was just getting my final sleep in, and she was like, "You're restless and couldn't sleep." So she messages me like 3 a.m, being like, "I'm thinking about, like, we can't get the van till Monday, so I'm thinking about getting a car, like, for the first couple of days. Like, what do you think about this?" And she fucking sends me a screenshot of like the Mustang, but it says order confirmed. So she's already got it. She's like, and she's like,
I'm
like,
"I told you I'm impulsive." I saw it. I was like,
"What are you talking about? It says on it. You've already got it."
How do you feel about this? I was like, well,
too late.
And I was like, too late, you're getting it.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it was like money after money after money. They were like, really, we like proper hit it hard the first few days. Like, so we went, like, we got the Mustang, we got new guitars, then we got towed, then we got a fine, then I had to pay more money to insure the, like, it was like a pure hidden cost in the camper van.
Yeah.
And then like, it was just like, oh, fuck up after fuck up. But then finally, like, it started to kind of level out midweek, and then by the end of the week, we realised we had to get those guitars home. We also had to, like, dump the shit out of the, like, really, actually, physically dump the shit out of the camper van.
Yeah.
We could find nowhere to do it. We travelled about so many places, didn't we? And we like, drove into so many, like, trailer parks, being like, please, does anybody, please help me? We drove so far, like, we drove so many miles.
And she's like, we went down to one, and it was like, probably 40 minutes out. From the centre, from Hollywood. And then she drops me at this caravan park, or this, like, trailer park, and then she's like, yeah, I'll be back in a minute, like, I just need to turn the van around. So she fucks off for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, where am I? I'd left my phone in the van, and I was like, what if she just doesn't come back?
The thing is, even if you had your phone, then go fuck off, because you have no signal the whole time.
I was the whole time, so I was just sat there, I was like, I'm just going to have to start a new life with this, like, trailer park.
Okay, I live here now. Just like walking into someone's caravan, like, hi there.
Take me in like a stray dog.
I know. But yeah, so we finally got that done, and then like the night, once we had done that, because we didn't want to wake up the day that we had to fly home, figure all that out in the morning, go sort our shit out, take the van back, then, like, it was just going to be such a stress. So when we finally, like, the night before, we found the place, because we stopped and asked one of the cops, didn't we?
Yeah.
And the guy was beautiful.
Oh, handsome man, I was asking myself some questions.
I know. It's like, hi there, sir, do you want to show us where it is?
I was like, oh.
You know, you're so... Refting me. Yeah. but, yeah, so he... was just like, he told us where to go, and then the guy was like, you have to get here by 7:30, and it was already like the back of 7 maybe. Okay. I was like, fuck!
Yeah.
So we got there, finally, we emptied it all out, like, we cleaned all the whole place out, we packed our cases.
And then got seen?
Then got absolutely wrecked. And I woke up the next day still fully dressed.
I mean, she woke up steaming. She woke up full.
How wrecked was that, honestly?
We went to breakfast and she's still absolutely blazing. I've got a video of her later at night on my phone, and she found bubble wrap in Kirsten's living room. She's pure, just pure, like, first thing in the morning. She's like, ha, ha, ha. And then she's like, I'm still drunk. And I'm just like,
I was steaming, then we met our friends, like Zach and we went with Kirsten and Zach, and then this other girl that we met at one of the shows. They came for breakfast, and like, we went to this place, and you have to, like, to order the food, it's like, it's called, like, grateful or
something. That's called I am. And all the meals are like,
I am grateful. I am kind.
Yeah.
And it's like, I am gracious.
Yeah.
And like, that's what you had to order your food, and I was like, I'm a wank. But I was so wrecked, the soup was banging though.
Yeah.
I ate my soup, and then like, Luke hadn't finished his, and I was like, still steaming, love your soup.
Like, yes, dear.
I just said soup loop.
That's
oh, it was so good. But yeah, no, the whole trip was amazing. And like, We just had pure intense combos. I know you told, asked us that question and we just didn't answer it. We just told you about the rest of the trip.
Brought it back.
I know.
But,
I can't even remember like what it was about. It's more really about like the inner workings that I don't think I really want to put out on a podcast. The inner workings of my absolute mental brain, yeah.
I would just basically like kind of found ourselves just talking about like the deepest, darkest corners of existence.
I know, the deepest, darkest bits of our mind and like some of that shit I probably wouldn't even like have said to it, but it was like, you know, you're there and like I think we're so alike and the fact that like everything that I was saying, because like sometimes I'll have conversations with people and I feel like they look at me just thinking like, are you on this planet?
Yeah.
And like everything that I was saying and everything that Luke was saying, we were just like, we knew it before. There was even one point where like Luke was like, do you know what misophonia is? And I was like, that woman in the restaurant that was eating their noodles like that. And he was like, I'm so glad you knew exactly what I meant.
Women slapping like, on noodles, man, drives me mad.
It was like hours later and stuff like that, though. It was like, it was just like we were so like locked in with each other, like knew exactly. Like Luke would tell me about like things that happened at home and like, not even just things that happened, but like how we would deal with things and like the way that we would act in situations and treat situations and like things that we'd do would just be like the exact same as if we were like the same. It was so strange. Yeah. It was so weird. Like I just knew it was weird. Yeah. But it was like, it was really cool. I can't remember like half the conversations that we had. Like I've got a much deeper understanding of Luke's brain.
Sorry.
And maybe even of my mind as well, but like, yeah, I can't even remember like the specific conversations.
I don't think we should get into it.
I know, we'll let out all our secrets and everyone will know now.
Yeah, fair play. I think we need to think about wrapping up.
Yeah. I know, we've been going on for ages.
For ages. Yeah. My mate's sleeping in his car down the road, I think.
Is he? Oh my God.
Do you want, is there anything else you want to?
I'm just going to ask on the mental health stuff, just like if you guys have anything you use to like help your mental health and keep yourself healthy in that sense. Anything you'd recommend to anyone else?
I don't know, man. I would like to see a point when like antidepressants take a back seat.
Yeah.
I think because that's like a really like something. I think obviously like people who suffer from chronic depression.
We spoke about that as well when we were.
Yeah, we spoke about it quite a bit because obviously like I think like especially within music and a lot of the arts, like people I think that like
are very heavily reliant on. I feel like as a doctor, you can go to the doctors and they're just like, okay, right, so you are sad, here's this will make you happy. It doesn't really make you strange and, like, I know, like, a lot of my friends and stuff like that, and, like, I have, like, loads of different experiences and stuff like that, and it's like, it can be totally weird, but, like, it sometimes can just make you feel not like yourself and strange and, like, a whole different person, which is not nice, and there's so many like side effects to it which are bad. I don't know how bad the like they are here, like in this country, but I know that especially like some of the stuff that's getting prescribed in America and stuff like that are handed out like fucking sweeties and it's like causing suicides and causing like
crazy episodes. Not even handed out, like they're made to pay for it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think I don't know, I think it's just at the point where I think like anytime you're like specifically medicating a problem, then you don't remove the root.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the time the problem is it's like the cyclical, it's like a cyclical problem, you know what I mean? People like maybe like they feel low in energy, so they don't want to exercise, and so they don't exercise, and then their diet suffers, and then they drink too much, and it's like this whole thing. I think, I don't know, I think slowly, like, taking out little parts of your life and trying to slowly improve yourself is probably the best way to do it.
I think especially, like, we ate, like, lots of nice places, and it's like, a lot of them are plant-based. Like, I'm vegan mainly, although, like, sometimes when I was over there, like, say especially on the first day when we arrived there, I was so fucking hangry. And we went to McDonald's and they had no veggie options there. I did not eat any meat, obviously, but I had like an egg McMuffin.
You could be off topic.
Like, no, but I mean, like, I know what I'm not just talking about.
Like, would you hang out your head? Like, things on mental health? Well, I had an egg McMuffin.
No, but I'm just meaning like the we were like chatting about like how changing your diet slowly, just being like. Okay, now you don't eat meat. Just like changing little bits for the goodness, not for like to be detrimental, not to be like, I will be a vegan so I will eat meat. Just be like to better yourself slightly. Yeah. Like like adding in wee bits, and I'm not just talking about food, I'm meaning about in your life, like taking in wee slight bits of the negative, that you kind of get into like a spiral of like, or even just a habit of like doing stuff that's not good for you, but because it's habit, you keep doing that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not just going to change overnight, but it's like, if you take like slight, like some wee bits of that out and replace them with good things, eventually that's going to be your habit, is the good things.
Yeah.
And I think that if you get more into a mindset of like not seeing those as, like, I think like relying heavily on drink and drugs and like smoking and whatever is like, is more of a habit sometimes. And I mean, I know that it's like a real problem for some people, and especially definitely as a creative, it can be really tricky, but like to slowly replace that with like, instead of coming home and like getting steaming, like go like and go for like, not even just go and exercise, because some people be like, that's the shittest thing that you said, like don't, but like replace that with something that good, like, or like I've been reading a lot about mindfulness, and it's like more that like, it's more like the boundaries and the insecurities and anxieties that you put on yourself that causes that.
Yeah.
And it's so tricky to be like, yeah, it's all in your mind, so just be happy. It's not like that, but like there's wee techniques, especially from reading that, that you can use that kind of gets you out of the negative mind, like the negative mindset and like the spiraling, and you can kind of then start to see the negative habits that you've got.
Yeah.
And slowly change them, or slowly try and help them or make them slightly better by not just constantly going for the thing that you always do, because like putting in a wee bit of change in there can
have a big effect.
It can be, it can also be good for you.
I think like you can always, one of the big features of like depression is that like it's sort of, it's the complete feeling of like detachment and hopelessness, and so sometimes when you try and suggest like slow incremental changes, it just seems so impossible. Whereas like thinking people get caught in the momentum of past decisions or past experiences, and so I think like what I would like to see is that like people, particularly like men who are expected to be rock solid and emotionally solid, and like allowing vulnerability there, and also like women who are like tend to be like more emotionally complex.
Yeah,
allowing them to be, or like something, trying to meet in the middle. And like start
a dialogue. We spoke about this in, when we were away as well. Just like the kind of like how it's maybe seen for like, especially like stresses and work and stuff like that. Yeah. Like if you were just to like burst out crying, how that would be seen as, how that would be seen as, and like I think it's great that like you're running, which it shouldn't be like. Well, it's great that a man is running a podcast about mental health.
Yeah.
But really, actually, like, there has to be a lot more of that before people... Like, that's why the suicide rate in men is so much higher.
It's
because
the
men
the
feel
biggest
like,
killer of men under 50, right? Is that right? The biggest killer of men under 50 is suicide.
Which is crazy. And, but it's also, like, that needs to be small changes, like like podcasts and more men speaking about it and more influential men coming out and being like, it's all right, you know. And I think it's getting there. It's a long, long, long way to go.
Yeah.
And a lot of changes that need to be happened. But like small wee bits like this, like to influence it positively, is like exactly what what's needed.
Vulnerability tends to be actually strength. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's why like women. Obviously with like the sort of instinct to like care for children, like the sort of the like very like empathy is a big thing.
Yeah.
It comes from like mothers and things like that. So I think if you like allow men to be more vulnerable, and you don't criticise women for being too overly, you know, I mean like that that idea of like being overly emotional is like heavily criticised, just as much as like men are sort of made to be like, you know, like the expectation is that you're emotionless. You know, like you're basically a fucking marine.
It's like so romanticized about like, oh yeah, he doesn't, you're not gonna break him. He's like, he's not gonna, he's not gonna be sad. He's strong and he's like blah blah blah. But you know, it's like that's not really the real world. That's not actually how things can happen, because if it does, it's not that it's like, oh, it might be sexy, but it's like detrimental to people's health. Not only just the male himself, but to other males that also see that, and to other women, or not even women, but people that is in contact with, like, it's just a vicious circle, and I think that, like, chatting about it more, problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah, and get off social media, you know what I mean? Because I think that's the problem, is, like, these days, like, people don't know how to be in the real world. I think that's where a lot of anxiety comes from, is that people are so used to, like,
seeing snapshots of people's life, yeah.
They're so used to, like, the shadow on the wall. You know what I mean? They don't ignore the actual source of light, you know what I mean? And it's like,
So
I think people need to, like, come back to the real world a little bit and try and, like, learn, really, like, socialise. You know?
And, like, it's seeing, like, your, like, celebrities and stuff like that on, that there's actually, like, some of them are going through, like, the worst mental health problems, but their life looks so great and everyone wants to be like them and they're so happy and look at their car and look at their nice things, shiny, shiny, sparkle, wow. And it's like, oh, look, they look great, they're so happy, they're so beautiful, look how skinny they are. Wow. And it's like...
People aspire for material goodness and don't
really, it's not like that at all, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know.
So I think, I would say just, like, be more self-aware. When I say more self-aware, some people are too self-aware that they, like, then think, oh my God, like, they think so much... I can get like that where I think so much about myself that I then create problems that are there that have just been put on by me. But, like, be self-aware enough to realise when those negative things are creeping through, but also, like, give less of a shit if you can. Of what, like, not of, yeah, of what people think. Just, like, if you're happy with the things that you're doing, do more of that, and also try and... not make other people, but try and also, like, encourage other people to be like that and be more aware of, like, just how you are acting, because, like, I've also read a lot about, like, negative thinking and, like, and a lot of it is just within our own minds, and it's not easy to get away from that, and I don't think anyone will ever fully get away from that, but to be aware of when those things are sneaking in. And it's not actually what's actually happening. It's, this is just a hazy vision that you've put on.
Yep.
That's not actually really what's happening right now. It's really that you've got negative insecurities that's then put onto a decision or put onto a situation that's happening. And that's to notice when it's you that's actually putting that on. Or I think that's just... be more self-aware within that and just be more mindfulness and happy with what you're doing and more present. Be more present.
Yeah, live in the moment. Don't overthink the future.
It's a nice way to end, I think.
Yeah.
So cheers, guys, for agreeing to do this. And
no, thank you so much. Sorry for rambling on for so long.
That's all right. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Your poor friend. I do apologise for you sitting, sleeping in your car.
I can tell you.
Although you did have a Subway, so...
He did, yeah.
You'll be full, happy, hungry.
Probably feel happy.
Maybe hungry. Well, if he's anything like you, be hungry again.
He's a hungry boy.
Hungry again. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Cheers.
Hello. Well, that's that. That is part two of the episode 35. I could have sat there and talked to Morgan and Luke all day, but unfortunately, I had to get with back to Aberdeen. I couldn't leave my friend in his car by himself for any longer, really, without it being probably class as abuse. So I went back and he took me home. It's very nice of him. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you did, please, as I said at the start, please give me a shout on social media. Please give Em and Luke a shout and tell them that you enjoyed it. Because I don't think those guys had done anything quite the same as that before. So it'd be nice for them to hear that they came across really well, which of course they did. Anyway, a couple more things to tell you about, as I have to. Well, I mean, we don't have any sponsors of that yet. Although, if anyone out there wants to sponsor us, the podcast, or wants to or knows of something that might, you know, get in touch. I'm not against becoming part of the corporate machine. If someone wants to sponsor me to do this nonsense, I'm open to listening to your offers. So go for it. But anyway, yeah. What have I got to tell you? Mood Swings Live, numero 2. I don't know why. It's coming this February. 24th February at Spin in Aberdeen. So far, the guests that have been announced are Davey King, who was on a couple weeks ago, of Star Rover, and Cara McKenzie, who was on our Christmas podcast. I was on the Mood Swings movie podcast, the bonus one that I put out this month, and she will be the guest for next week's podcast. I want to warn, Cara was recently over in Calais in France, volunteering with the refugees there. So we talk a lot about that in the podcast. It's really interesting. It's a little bit different to what we normally do, but we also talk about mental health and a whole load of stuff, and it's just a really nice one. And well, maybe not nice isn't the word, because of we talk about some quite hard things, but it's, I think it's a really good one, one of people are really going to enjoy. So check back next week for that one. And yeah, please get your tickets. Well, the tickets aren't online yet, so I don't know why I'm saying get your tickets, but please consider coming to see Mood Swings live. Those are the guests announced, more guests to be announced, like there'll be another two. And yeah, it'd be great to see you all there. It'll be a 1 year anniversary of when this project started, so we'll be having a wee bit of a celebration and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so until next week, thank you very much for listening. If this is your first time, please subscribe if you enjoyed it, or if you aren't quite willing to make that commitment yet, maybe go back and listen to some other episodes with I mean, if you like Emily, you'd probably like some other of the people we've interviewed. We had Aidan Moffat on last week, James Graham from the Twilight Sad before, Catherine Joseph, R.M. Hubbard, who gets a mention in this part actually, Ailey, who I just talked about from Breakfast Muff, Davey from Star Rover, Corey from Panact. We've got heaps of musicians on there. Helena Rafai, who does Glasgow Podcart in the Respite Room. She's not a musician herself, but obviously is in that field. So there's loads of them out there for you to listen to if you've enjoyed this one. And if you enjoyed this one, there's someone I haven't talked to you think would be good, suggest them to me. If it's on Twitter, tag them so that they know that they're that you're interested in hearing them as well. And I'll do my very best to get that sorted out for you. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. Okay, cheers. Goodbye.